This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. Selling food and groceries writ large might seem like a straightforward business model, right? People got to eat, so they're going to have to buy at least some of what you're selling. But in actual practice, that is not always the case. Regional supermarket companies being the most glaring current example. A lot of them are losing sales and market share to some big national and even international chains. Amazon's already got Whole Foods. European discount supermarkets are expanding across the United States. And Walmart is actually already the biggest grocer in the country. Marketplace's Renata Sago has this look from Orlando at how some of those regional players are fighting back.
It's in the parking lot of an Orlando Winn-Dixie where I find Jim Milam. He's in his 80s and lives on a fixed income. He has less than $100 a month to spend on groceries, so he's always on the prowl for a deal.
I go to Walmart. I go to Family Dollar. I've got prices pretty well memorized.
Take the price of a 12-pack of Coke. It's about $3.50 at Milam's go-to discount stores. Here at his Winn-Dixie, which has about 500 stores across the South,
they're about $5.
Even though prices for some products are higher, he finds himself pushing a cart of groceries out of here a couple of times a month.
I'm only, $6 from here.
Winn-Dixie is one of the regional chains that suffered recently. Its parent company filed for bankruptcy last year and closed dozens of stores. The low-margin grocery business has always been a little unstable. Chains come, chains go. It's been that way almost since the first modern supermarket opened. That was in Memphis in 1916, and the store was called Piggly Wiggly. It pioneered a self-service shopping model. Historian Benjamin Davison says before this store opened,
you had to go to the counter and talk to a clerk, and they would pull your products for you. You couldn't really, go and touch and feel what you were going to buy.
Soon, other retailers followed suit, and by the 1950s, grocery chains were hitting their stride. In this 1950s promo footage, we meet a manager at Mayfair, a bygone Western regional grocer. The manager takes his son to work and tells him that his job is to make sure there's enough food on the shelves, and
I must also see that all the people who work in the market know what to do and that they do their jobs well.
Grocery chains offered conveniences like parking, and their purchasing power meant lower prices. Today, convenience is not enough. Walmart, Target, and Amazon, they're pretty convenient, so regional grocers have to specialize. Take Publix, which owns 1,200 stores in the South. It's one of the regional supermarkets that seems to be successfully navigating the choppy waters. It posted higher sales in 2018 and just paid a dividend to its shareholders. A longtime Publix employee, Dwayne Stevens, took me on a tour of a Southeast Orlando store. There's a sandwich station and prepared foods. I'm talking hot wings and Gouda mac and cheese. You can watch bread and cakes being made.
We can taste anything you want to taste. You have a slice of anything.
Regional supermarkets are now offering cooking lessons, in-store dietitians, just about anything that will separate them from price-driven giants. Randy Bird is with the consulting firm A.T. Kearney.
You see a really strong focus on the customer. You see a focus on the shopping experience, a lot of which is interaction with store associates. And you see a focus on innovating the food offering.
And big regional chains are trying to find new niches. Publix is piloting a store in Tallahassee called Greenwise. It sells organic foods. And Winn-Dixie has started retooling some of its locations as Fresco y Mas stores to better serve Latino shoppers. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.